Good morning, Church of Glenshaw. How are you today? Today's scripture is about being prepared for the coming of Christ and God's reign on earth. Here we have 10 virgins, 5 foolish, 5 wise. They were asked to partake in the procession, and this is a great honor, and they were all excited about it. But it took a longer time for the bridegroom to come, and they fell asleep. But the 5 wise ones prepared. They had additional oil for their lamps. The 5 foolish did not. What does that mean to us today? We're like them. When we first confess Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we begin our relationship with Christ, we're excited, we're happy. But then the world gets in the way and we fall asleep. Some of us never prepare for his coming. Others prepare by praying, studying his word, and encouraging others. Think about who you are, wise or foolish, as I read Matthew 25, 1 through 13, the parable of the 10 wise virgins. 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the groom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise ones, "Give us some oil of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went out to meet him and go to the banquet. The door was shut. Later the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. Hurricane Bob was bearing down on the East Coast. Safe in his home on that same coast, a man named J.R. thought he was thoroughly prepared for the hurricane. The power failed, but that didn't faze him. He had a Coleman stove, and he put it on an oil lamps, and he put the Coleman stove on top of his electric range in his kitchen to cook his dinner. And so what if he had no electricity? He enjoyed a delicious meal thanks to his Coleman stove, and he commended himself on such foresight to do this. And he went to bed secure in the knowledge that Mother Nature could not beat him in his ingenuity. Meanwhile, outside, diligent linemen worked throughout the night to get the power to come back on. But J.R., as prepared as he was, had overlooked one important detail. He had forgotten that he had been using his stove, his electric stove, and when the power went off, and since there had been no power, he had not thought to turn the power off on his electric range. And when the power came back on in the middle of the night, the Coleman stove was sitting on top of that red hot burner. And you can guess what happened. The Coleman stove exploded, knocked his house 2 foot off the foundation, blew out every window in the house, cost him $65,000. Luckily, he wasn't hurt. He was in a bedroom far away with the door shut. Can somebody tell me the Boy Scout motto?
Be
Be prepared. We all know that. He thought he was prepared, but he was not really prepared. If he had been really prepared, he would have checked his stove and made sure that it was off, and this accident would not have happened. Jesus told a parable about the kingdom of God. It concerned some young women who went to a wedding party. 10 bridesmaids, he said, took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom, but only 5 of them were wise enough. And then when the 5 had to go into town to get some more oil. By the time they came back, the wedding party had already started. The food had been served. They shut the gates. They locked the doors. And these 5 could not get in. But the 5 who were prepared were allowed in. And they were at the party. They were eating. Jesus said, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. That is not simply a good idea, our Lord is saying. It is a direct command from Jesus Christ. Keep watch. Be prepared. Because life is full of the unexpected. Sometimes, no matter how careful we plan, it's like, I don't know if you ever seen the show NCIS, the one with Mark Harmon playing Jethro, the head, and the character, Tony, and he's always walking up behind him when he's not looking, and he pops him behind the head. Well, life is kind of like that. When we're not looking, when we're not expecting, life just kind of pops us in the head sometimes. We don't expect it, but it happens. In one of Bill Watterson's cartoons, I love Calvin and Hobbes. Calvin enters the living room one morning dressed in a large space helmet, a long cape, a flashlight in one hand, and a baseball bat in the other. Sounds like something I would have done, or some of your children probably doing today. And his mother said, "What's up today?" And Calvin says, "Nothing so far." And his mom says, "So far?" And Calvin says, "Well, you never know. Something could happen today." As Calvin leaves, his mother starts thinking about Calvin's helmet, the cape, the flashlight, the baseball bat. And the final caption shows her thinking, "You know, I need an outfit like that." We all need a suit like that, because life sends us challenges. It's often when we least expect it and least prepared for it, and we call these learning experiences. And that doesn't mean that they don't hurt. We learn all right, but we take our lumps and our bruises, and that's life, and you had better be prepared, because it happens to each and every one of us. One of the best examples is of a mother preparing her young for the ups and downs of life comes from a book by Gary Richmond, A View from the Zoo. In chapter 1, Richmond gives an amazing look at the birth of a baby giraffe. You've all seen giraffes. Most of you have been to the zoo. It's just fascinating to be up close to the giraffe and realize how tall they are, not just their neck, but their legs. Their mother giraffe is normal about 10 foot off the ground. Now, when a mother giraffe gives birth, she doesn't bend down. She drops the baby from 10 foot. Can you imagine that? 10 foot drop being born. What a way to come in to this earth. And then what the baby giraffe does, it just kind of curls up in a cocoon. But the mother kicks the baby after a minute and goes tumbling over. And if the baby giraffe does not immediately get up and stand on his or her feet, the mother whacks that baby, just been born, 1-2 minutes old, kicks it again till it gets up on his feet. And why does the mother do this? Because the mother hates the giraffe, the baby, doesn't want it, mad at it. No, Because the mother knows that if he doesn't get that baby giraffe up and on his feet in a hurry, a lion can come by, a hyena, some predator, and eat that baby giraffe. Needs to get it up, walking, and into the herd as quickly as possible. So the mother is actually doing something that is very, very loving. Life is full of the unexpected. None of us are totally prepared, but it's important that we do all we can. We live in a very fragile world. Life itself is very fragile. The parent of every teenager with a driver's license understands the risk. When I was watching the news the other night, and you've heard it, they're getting ready to outlaw texting while driving. What a wonderful thing. We need that. It's crazy to try to text. And the very next night, when I turned on the news, a 16-year-old girl had been killed texting while driving. What a horrible thing. 16, I believe it was 16, maybe 17, but a young girl killed texting while driving. Whole life ahead of her. But life happens. Lives are ruined. And then many of us in our middle and later years are aware of friends, of their untimely deaths, cancer, heart attacks. And then we wonder about our own lives. Could I be next? What is down the road for me? What does life have waiting for me tomorrow or next week? Life is fragile. Nowadays, family relationships are fragile. One out of every two marriages end in divorce, and about one half of our nation's children live in homes with one biological parent. Life is fragile. Family life is fragile. Married life is fragile, especially if you're a Kardashian. You got about 72 days if you marry one of them. Please, if your children watch that show, talk to them. Please. I saw a girl at the airport reading a book about the Kardashians, dressed just like them. Her hairstyle was just like them. And I wanted to walk over and just rip the book out of her hands. I said, please, please. We are to be prepared for Christ's return. That is our lesson, the main point of this lesson for today. Christ's return to the earth at the end of time. We have no idea when that will be. It may be 1,000 years. It may be today. We just don't know. Still, Christ tells us, be prepared for his coming. Be prepared to give an account of your life. I heard of a man recently who was prepared in at least one respect, his name Jan Christian Smuts, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. He was a statesman in the early days of the Republic of South Africa, and he was nearing retirement. A French journalist wanted to interview him and wanted to get some of his notes, and the man said, here's everything. Here's all my notes, all my records, all my files. Here is my diary. You can examine everything that I have. And the journalist was startled. He said, but sir, you mean I can go through everything that you have? Everything. All of your records? Surely you must have some secrets. He said, no, there are no secrets. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if we were able to say at the end of our life, I have no secrets. I have not hidden anything. Maybe we'd sleep better at night, have healthier marriages, healthier hearts, healthier lives. If we can only say like this man, there are no secrets. And of course, there will be a time when all secrets will be revealed. Many times we think we're keeping secrets and we're not. They're exposed. There were some young boys on a train, and they decided they were going to try to guess by looking at how someone was dressed what they did for a living. And this went on for the train ride. When it stopped, a woman in about her 40s walked up to the two boys who were doing this and said, you guessed me wrong. I'm a teacher. I teach lip reading to the deaf. She knew everything that they had said. Sometimes you think you're being secret. It's just like with the new phones. I know of people who have pocket dialed their telephones and said some things they wish they had not said on the phone when their husband or wife or someone else was listening to the conversation. Stranger things have happened. We are to watch with a positive anticipation. Be prepared, watch and be ready. Life is fragile. Ultimately, there are no secrets, but we are to watch with a positive anticipation. Soon our children will be waiting and watching with great expectation for Santa. And they're not waiting with dread and fear, not most of them anyway. They're waiting with joyful hearts to see what Santa will bring them. What toys, what candy, what joy. And it troubles me that so many Christians, when they think about the end of the world, when they think about Christ coming back, it strikes dread and horror into their hearts. But it's not just Christians. I read about a group of ultra-Orthodox Jews declaring, and they're waiting for Christ to come back for the first time, and they said that they were preaching against women wearing wigs. We can get a little crazy with our theology and what we believe sometimes. So it was insufficient head covering for a married woman. And they put posters out on this billboards, and it says if they wear a woman's wearing a wig, she's preparing herself for hell. Another wall message announced when the Messiah comes, the first thing that he will do, the first thing he will do is eliminate the woman's wig. That's absurd, but Christians can be just as silly in our theology and things that we make up around Christ's second coming. And we still try to predict his coming. We all remember just recently Harold Camping out of California, about 90 years old, predicting Christ's coming. We seem to have short memories about this. He predicted in 1992 Christ was coming. He predicted in 1994 Christ was coming, gave the date. Then he predicted in May 21st, 2011, Christ was coming. So I didn't pay my mortgage. October 21st, I paid my mortgage this time. Just kidding, I always pay my mortgage. Didn't come back. When are people going to learn? It's silly to predict the date and the time. We do not know. So stop it. Don't even waste your time reading books about the day and the time, because you do not know. You will never know. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me so. And then we have the whole thing with everybody being blown up and killed, and we get all excited about that. But I like to think of Jesus coming back like a father gone on a business trip for a long time, and the children are anticipating and waiting for him to come back and see what he brought them. A candy bar, a little souvenir from a trip to Nebraska or wherever he might have gone. The point is, be prepared. Be prepared for anything, for that if you drop dead today, that you'd be ready. If you got a promotion today, that you would be ready and prepared for that promotion, because you've been preparing yourself to advance. Be prepared for any tragedy, any heartache that might come into your life, because you've been drawing closer and closer to Jesus Christ, and you can handle the situation if it arrives in your life. I'm going to close with this example. Harold Smith told in his book, No Fear of Trying, a fascinating story, at least to me, about how battleships from World War II were dry docked. And some people said they shouldn't have been dry docked, they should have just been sunk, put out on the reefs, and it would have been a lot cheaper. And they took all the fuel out of them. All the flammable liquids were siphoned out. The motors were cleaned thoroughly. The pumps were filled with preservative chemicals. All the openings were covered with sealants or metal hatches to prevent moisture from entering. Winches and machinery and any moving parts were covered in airtight igloos. Dehumidifiers were installed throughout the ships. And for 25 years, these mothball relics were monitored by the U.S. Navy ship maintenance facility staff. They're specialists in preserving the warships. Then the Reagan administration called for beefing up of the Navy, so they went in and they unmothballed these ships. And when they went in to do so, they were seaworthy almost at once. They said when they looked at the duty schedules that had been posted 25 years earlier, they had not even yellowed. They had done such a wonderful job of preparing those ships to be ready if they were needed. The ships were ready to go about their business. Are you prepared to go about your business? Are you prepared for both the challenges and for the opportunities that life is presenting you on a daily basis? And are you ready to stand before God if you were to die today, or if you were to be hear the trumpet call and Christ were to come back today and call his church triumphant? Are you ready for the second coming of our Lord? Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Be prepared. It's the smart thing to do, and it is the thing that our Lord Jesus Christ has commanded us to do. Watch. Be prepared. May God bless you. Amen.